He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. It is written, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. It is written, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. It is written, then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled Voices from the Holy Mount. Jesus took Peter, James and John into a high mountain apart by themselves to pray. Now at that time, while in prayer, Jesus was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his garments became white as the light, bright and dazzling. It must have been an awesome sight. However, they had seen a more astounding sight before this. It was what they had seen before he was transfigured. Before the transfiguration, they had seen the Lord of Glory walking around on this earth encased in the body of a human being. So the virgin birth was the greater miracle of the two. Here it was just a matter of letting his deity shine through the rags of his mortal flesh. So now Jesus appears to the apostles, arrayed in glory, and with him Moses and Elijah, even though they had been gone for hundreds of years. Here they appear before the Lord in glory with Jesus on the mountaintop. This is an example of how the Christian shall appear in glory when the Lord returns in glory. Jesus said in Matthew 13, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now listen to the voices from the Holy Mount. The first voice is the voice of Simon Peter. He said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. I will make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." This is an indication of how the Christian will feel when they die. At that moment, you will be surrounded by the glory of the Lord's presence. And we will not want to return. Like Peter, we will say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Peter, you see, was on a spiritual high. Sometimes we feel the same. But for now, we cannot stay on the mountaintop. They had heard God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." But there was another Father at the bottom of the hill with an only begotten Son also, a Son who had a dumb spirit. He fell in the fire, then into the water. He was dashed down and ground his teeth and foamed at the mouth. He needed help. So we cannot stay on the mountaintop when people are throwing fits in the valley. As Christians, we cannot afford to stay on the mountaintops of our own spiritual satisfaction when we live in a world where people are throwing fits, having spasms, and headed for hell. Just listen and look at the news. Think of the national fit and spasm that the USA had when prayer was voted out of the school system. Our beloved land was frothing at the mouth. People are being shot today in the classroom. Others are being bushwhacked in church services. Is there any reason to think that these things could not happen in your school or your church in your area? The mission field is not necessarily in a faraway jungle. There is a jungle in suburbia where some of you live. Right here in America, when you leave the church service, you are entering a mission field. We cannot afford to stay on the mountaintop when people are throwing fits in the valley. Voices from the Holy Mount. Now listen to the voices of Moses and Elijah. The appearance of Moses and Elijah is suggestive of the second coming of Jesus. The appearance of Moses, who died, reminds us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. The appearance of Elijah, who did not die, reminds us that we who are alive unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now listen to the voices of Moses and Elijah. What did they say? Well, what do people talk about when they come down from outer space? in science fiction when the flying saucers land, and the little green men with spindle legs and bugged-out eyes approach an Earthling, just what do they say? Why, they say, "Take me to your leader." Moses and Elijah did not say, "Take me to your leader," because they knew Jesus was their leader. Now I ask you again, what did they say to their leader? Well, if they had been like us, they would have asked such inane questions as, "Lord, who is going to win the Super Bowl this year, or the World Series?" As though the Lord would care one way or the other. No such questions were on the docket. They talked about the most important thing that ever happened on this planet. They spake of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. If people had any sense at all, the talk shows on television and radio would be riveted on such topics as repentance, the resurrection of Jesus, acceptance of Christ, and what can we do to get the gospel out to a world that is going to hell as fast as if they were on a greased toboggan slide. Why, they spake of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus would accomplish it. Right after their descent from the mountain, Jesus indicates how he is the architect of the crucifixion. It was his idea. 8 days before this, Jesus had told of his decease and resurrection, and Peter rebuked him. Now Moses and Elijah discuss it with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then, after he comes down from the Holy Mount, he tells them again that he would be delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And when he's killed, after 3 days, he will rise again. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was the architect of the crucifixion, and he would work through the unholy hands of men to get it done. He is the one who devised, formulated, planned, invented, concocted, and thought out in his own mind, heart, and brain the decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. It was all his idea. They spake of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Voices from the Holy Mount. Now listen to the voice of God from the Holy Mount. The voice of God had a message. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The amazing thing about the message of God is that he did not say anything that he had not said before. He had said before, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," at the baptism of Jesus. And he had said before, "Hear ye him." He said it through Moses when Moses predicted, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me, to whom ye shall hearken in all things, whatsoever he shall speak unto you." If it were announced today that the Almighty was going to speak in an audible voice at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, all the network news would tune in to hear what God has to say. At the end of the program, all the scholars would be poised and ready, and they would dissect what God said and then tell us that God did not say what we thought he said, but they really meant something else. Actually, if God did speak from heaven in an audible voice, the first thing that would happen would be every Christ rejecter would run for cover, just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden when they heard the voice of God after their sin. When Peter, James, and John heard the voice of God on the mountain, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. A great cry of dismay will arise from all the Christ rejecters when they hear the Lord Jesus as he descends from heaven with a shout. Again, we say, as we have said many times before, some think today that in this high-tech age that we need a high-tech gospel. When we started on the radio almost 40 years ago, there was a small church that started to help us on the broadcast. In the process of about 30 years or so, they increased in size to several hundred members. One day they dropped their support, and a nearby preacher went and asked them why they stopped supporting this ministry. He was told, "Now Ed is a good preacher, and what he preached was good 30 years ago, but today we need something different." Efforts are made today to use marketing techniques to build the church. And it is true, you can market the church like soap, but there is no way to soft soap people into repentance. You cannot soft soap conviction. You cannot soft soap people into being obedient to the terms of pardon. If the Lord would speak again today, he would not tell us anything that he has not already told us. Peter says in his second epistle, the first chapter, the third verse, "Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Voices from the Holy Mount. Next we listen to the voice of the Father of the Child at the foot of the mountain. When they came down from the mountain, another father who had an only begotten son was waiting for him. He told Jesus that his son was his only child. He was abused by a demon who threw him down and tore him much. He cast him into the fire and then into water. He said he had brought his son to the nine apostles at the foot of the mountain to cast him out, and they were not able. The apostles had no good reason for failing. Jesus had already given them power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, told them to go out and do it, and they did. Now here nine of the apostles have failed to cast out one demon out of one little boy. Whatever the reason for their failure, it was not a good reason. The world today is in trouble. If the troubled people of your community came to your congregation looking for answers, would they also go away and complain, "Lord, I came to your church to help me in my problems, and they couldn't do it"? If the church today is not making an impression on the troubles of your area, it is not because we don't have the resources. We have the Great Commission of Jesus. We have the access to the Holy Spirit. We have the Bible with all the answers for any problem that is caused by sin. Our inability to cope with the world's problems may be because the Lord cannot do much with a church that just doesn't give a hoot about the conversion of a lost and dying world. The church is filled with people who have been immersed but never repented. Hence, their baptism may be null and void. What can the Lord do to heal the sin sickness of the world with a church that is no different in lifestyle than the world? What can the Lord do with a church whose conscience is made numb because they are fed with inspirational entertainment week after week? I heard one man say, "I'm getting tired of going to church services and getting inspired every week. The inspiration wears off before the week is over." And he said he has to go back the following week for another shot of inspiration. The Lord cannot do much with a church that only wants a service that makes them feel good about themselves. It is true that the church needs to comfort the afflicted, but the church also needs to afflict the comfortable. The prophet Amos said, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." When Jesus asked the Father how long this affliction had been going on, the Father said, "From a child." The devil had been working on this child before he reached the age where he was accountable. Children are not in need of salvation. They live in a saved state while in their innocence. There's no need to baptize an infant for the simple reason that faith and repentance is required for a biblical baptism. You cannot believe for someone else any more than you can breathe for someone else. However, the devil is still making plans in advance to capture the innocent child. He works on the destruction of the innocents through the home. It is a dream of every family to buy a house, the bigger the better, 4 bedrooms, 4-car garage, 3 baths, a corner lot, large acreage, widescreen television, computers at least, for the purpose of playing games. All of this bespeaks of the love of parents for children. But to have such a home as this, and neglect the house of God and the Word of God, is the height of child abuse. Then the devil is allowed to work on the innocent child through education as well as the home. Parents show their love for the child in making plans for advanced education. The child must have access to a college education. Financial plans are made in advance. But at the same time, plans are not made for teaching the growing child the teachings of the Word of God. And this also is the most cruel form of child abuse. Voices from the Holy Mount. Now the next voice we hear, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had something to say at the bottom of the mount. The apostles asked him why they failed to cast out the demon. Jesus told them, "Because of your little faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Ladies and gentlemen, we live and serve a mountain-moving God. It may be that most of your prayers, like mine, are molehill prayers. We need to pray mountain-moving prayers. One day, many years ago, we prayed a mountain-moving prayer. That prayer resulted in this radio broadcast. After the prayer, we made the mistake that Paul says he did not make. We conferred with flesh and blood. We asked key people for advice that had knowledge in this area, and to a man, they all advised against it. One godly church leader told us, "You can never do it because you have 2 strikes against you. Strike one," he said, "was you have no money. Strike two is because nobody knows you." The consensus was, "You will never be able to do it." Flesh and blood was wrong. There was somebody who did know us. That was somebody who could supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. By God's grace, we took the 3rd strike. Actually, by means of the internet, this program can be heard worldwide. The prayer was announced and answered because we have a mountain-moving God. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the voices from the Holy Mount. That in the name of Jesus, speak to that mountain that stands in your way. Remove hence to yonder place, that it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. When the vision was over, the 3 apostles lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. Many today who had they been there would have lifted up their eyes and would have seen absolutely nothing at all. These are the folks who can hear the greatest gospel message. They hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They hear about the terms of pardon on the day of Pentecost. Repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they lift up their eyes and see absolutely nothing at all, except the scores of yesterday's ball game. Voices from the Holy Mount. So it is written. So let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Don't forget, look at our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away. God is just a prayer away.